And the Mets open up against Zachary, and the first man up is Tim Harkness. He takes outside, ball one. Harkness batting against the right-hander, batting for the second time. He walked the first time up, and the next pitch is lined in the right field, a base hit. Coming over to pick the ball up is John Pashorek, and he throws it on in, and Harkness has his base hit, the second, make it the third base hit off the right-hander in the ball game. Mets now have the time run at first base with Jim Hickman coming to bat. That ball was hit so hard that the second baseman, Joe Morgan, could move only about a step before the ball was by him. Hickman batting for the second time, struck out his first time up. And his first pitch is fouled off to the right side, out of play. Strike one. Jim batting 229 with 17 home runs and 51 runs batted in. Well, the grand old man of baseball, two great players playing today. One in his final game, the other one, who knows how long he can go, Warren Spahn. And he pitched a shutout today, 2-0. Another shutout for Warren Spahn, his seventh this year. Here's a foul ball hit into the dugout. Strike two. Also his 62nd shutout in his major league career, and Warren won it over Chicago by a 2-0 score. He beat Bob Buell, and Warren pitched a four-hit shutout. He makes this game look mighty easy. The other one, of course, making the game look easy for 22 years, Stan Musial. And this will be Stan's final game today. He already has one hit and two times up. He'll bring you up to date in his final totals when that game is completed. Now the pitch back to Hickman outside. One ball, two strikes. Right here, the Colts lead 2-1. The Mets have the time run at first base with no one out. Jim Hickman, the batter, against Chris Zachary. Now at 1-2. A let up is hit slowly down to third base. A tough chance for Bob Asamoah. He picks it up, throws to first base, not in time. Asamoah making a good play, falling down after he threw the ball, but not picking up the runner as the throw arrived about a half a step too late. Moving on down to second on the base hit is Tim Harkness, and the Mets now have runners at first and second base with no one out, and the batter is Joe Hicks. Joe, a left-hand batter, quite out to right field his first time up. Joe batting 232. Infield looking for a possible bunt here. Time runs at second base with no one out. The go-ahead run at first. Last day of the season. Doubt if he'll be bunting. Now the pitch. It's inside at ball one. Hicks not squaring around. One ball, no strike. Joe with five home runs and 22 runs batted in. Standing right on top of the plate. Now the pitch. It's high and outside, ball two. Two balls and no strikes. Jim Umbrick warming up in the bullpen for the Colt 45s once again. He's a right-hand pitcher. Chris Zachary taking the signs from Johnny Bateman. Now he takes a stretch position. Looks at second base, comes back to Hicks. And the fastball has popped up on the infield. An infield fly. Batter's automatically out. Bob Asamoah had to chase that one down after the wind got hold of it. But of course, with the sign given by the umpires, the batter was out no matter what happened. Runners, of course, have the choice of advancing after the catch at their own risk, or if there's no catch, the same. So Asamoah comes up with that one for the first out. And the batter now is Choo-Choo Coleman. Colt 45s have two runs and one hit. The Mets have one run and four hits. One man out, top of the fourth inning. Coleman grounded out to first his first time up. He's a left-hand batter, batting 176. Choo-Choo has driven in eight runs this year. He has played in a total of 105 games. This is his 106th. And a curveball is looked at. A good one at the knees. Strike one. Choo-Choo's had 43 base hits and 246 times up. of those 43 hits, he's had three home runs, no doubles, no triples. One strike pitch, curveball bounced in the dirt, blocked by Bateman. Ball bouncing in front of home plate, and the runners hold. Jim Harkness on at second base. Jim Hickman on at first. Both arriving as a result of base hits. The Mets with a total of five hits. Make it four hits. They had two in the third and two here in the fourth. One ball, one strike. The on-deck batter, Al Moran. Now Zachary takes his set position. And his pitch. Curveball outside. Ball two. Two balls, one strike. Zachary, as Lindsay told you, takes a lot off his curveball. It's almost a change curve. And it has a big rolling motion, big breaking curveball. For a young pitcher of 19, he has good poise in the mound. Now the pitch back. It's inside, ball three. Three balls and one strike, and Zachary now is a pitch away from loading up the bases. One man out, top of the fourth inning. Mets with a time run at second base. The go-ahead run at first. Now Zachary with the 3-1 delivery. Runners go. The pitch is hit sharply down off the glove of the second baseman. Coming around from second base to score is Tim Harkness. Jim Hickman on the hit and run goes to third unmolested. And Choo-Choo Coleman has driven in the time run. And the Mets have tied it up at 2-2. Coleman picking up his ninth run batted in on a 3-1 hit and run play. The ball was hit sharply right over second base. Joe Morgan, the second baseman, went over to backhand it. Ball hit hard off of his glove and went out into right center field. It scored a base hit. And now coming out to the pitcher's mound, Lumen Harris, and it's going to be a new pitcher in the ballgame. Lumen Harris taking Chris Zachary out of the ballgame. Mets with runners at first and third base and one out. And in 3 1/3 innings, Chris Zachary has been charged with two runs. He has given up five hits. He struck out three and walked one. Of course, the runners at first and third, his responsibility. And now while we wait for Umbrick to warm up, here's Lindsay with some scores.
All right, Ralph, in the National League, at the end of four and a half innings, the Dodgers lead the Philadelphia Phillies by a score of 1-0. All right, Mahaffey started for the Phillies, and now Balchin, Jack Balchin, has relieved him in the fifth inning. Don Drysdale is pitching today for the Dodgers, going for his 20th win of the season. The Milwaukee Braves have defeated the Chicago Cubs 2-0. Warren Spahn getting his 23rd win on a four-hitter. He's lost only seven. Spahn's 62nd shutout, his seventh this year. Bob Buell started, took the loss for the Cubs, and it was Burdette in the eighth inning. Henry Aaron hit a home run in the first with nobody on. His 44th at time with Willie McCovey for the home run lead in the National League. The end of four and a half innings, the Giants lead the Pittsburgh Pirates 1-0. Tommy Sisk against Jack Sanford. The end of seven and a half innings, the St. Louis Cardinals lead the Cincinnati Reds 2-0. Jim Maloney going after his 24th win of the season. He's 23-7. Bob Gibson going after his 19th. He is 18-9. The American League, rain along the eastern seaboard has caused the postponement of contests in Boston and New York. The Angels at Boston postponed because of rain. The Minnesota Twins at New York postponed because of rain. Going to the bottom of the seventh, it is the Cleveland Indians 2 and the Kansas City A's 1. Jim Mudcat Grant going for Cleveland. O'Donohue for Kansas City with Sturdivant in the seventh inning. Washington defeated Chicago White Sox 9-2. Detroit defeated the Baltimore Orioles 7-3. Now, once again, here's Ralph Kiner.
Okay, Lindsay, Jim Umbright, with a record of 3 wins and 3 losses, making his 35th appearance. He'll be pitching to Al Moran, and his first pitch is low, ball one, a fastball. Infield playing back for the double play at second and short. The first baseman and third baseman playing in to go either way. Runners at first and third, one man out. Time run to third base. Moran batting for the second time, flat out to right field his first time up. He's batting 195. Now the pitch back to the plate. It's taken outside, ball two. Moran squaring around as though to bunt, taking when the pitch was out of the strike zone. On that play, a safety squeeze set up. Of course, with the safety on, the runner at third base does not take off with the pitch, and it is not a suicide play, so Moran has the option of bunting or taking. Umbright has pitched 75 and one-third innings. He has a 2.64 earned run average. Big tall right-hander. He comes back outside again. Ball three. This time a slider that's outside and low. So Rowan Bright has thrown three pitches. He's behind 3-0, and he's only one pitch away from loading up the bases for Larry Benarth, who's the on-deck batter. Rowan Bright now sets. And he comes to the plate, and he's on the outside corner, strike one. Umbright was originally signed by Milwaukee in 1959. He was traded to Pittsburgh for outfielder Emil Pankow. He was acquired by Houston in the expansion draft. Now the 3-1 pitch fouled out of play. Strike two. On that play, Chuchu Coleman was running on the pitch in order to break up a chance for a double play for the Colts 45. The count, three balls and two strikes. Jim Dixon now throwing in the bullpen for the Colts 45. Jim, a right-hander. Score tied at 2-2. The Mets with runners at first and third, one out. Coleman easing off first. He goes. The pitch is hit. It's missed. The throw on down to second base is taken by the second baseman. And now they have Chuchu Coleman in the rundown. A throw over to Hickman as he moves off, and Jim gets back in the third. On the play, as the throw goes over to third base, Chuchu Coleman goes into second. So on the missed 3-2 pitch, Al Moran was struck out. The throw on down to second base was taken by Joe Morgan, the second baseman. Chuchu Coleman had stopped three-quarters of the way down. Morgan had him in a rundown. And then when Hickman moved off third base, Morgan went over to third to try and pick up Jim, but the throw to third base was too late. So the Mets have runners at second and third base with two men out, and Larry Benarth coming up. Stolen base credited to Chuchu Coleman. Larry Benarth, the right-hand batter, tripled his first time up to left center field and scored the first run scored by the Mets. The score tied now at 2-2. And the first pitch to Larry is in the left field, a base hit. Coming in from third base to score is Jim Hickman. Here comes Chuchu Coleman. Here comes the throw. But the throw is offline, takes a bad hop over the pitcher and catcher, goes up against the screen. Benarth now going to third base. The throw down there is not in time, and he is safe. So a single by Larry Benarth puts the Mets in front by a 4-2 score. Jim Hickman and Chuchu Coleman scoring. And on the throw home, Benarth moves on down to second base, and then an error given to allow Benarth to move over to third base. The error charge to the left fielder, Jim Wynn. The throw coming in took a very high hop over the top of the catcher's head and also over Jim Umbright's head, who was coming back of home plate to cover. So the first error of the ball game, the Mets lead 4-2. Those four runs are charged, all against the starting pitcher, Chris Zachary, and the batter now is Eddie Cranepool. Eddie singled his last time up. He is 1-for-2. Here's the windup in the first pitch to the left-hand batter. It's inside, ball one. Well, Larry Benarth now has contributed two big hits to his cause in this ball game. He has scored the first run and driven in the third and fourth run. The other run driven in by Cranepool, and he singled the left. Now a check in the swing, but not in time. Strike one. One ball, one strike. One ball, one strike. The pitch back, a curveball. It's outside. Two balls and one strike. Big right-hander into the swing, and now at 2-1. The pitch is hit on the ground down to the first baseman, Rusty Staub. He takes it, throws to Umbright covering the first base, and that retires the side. In the inning, though, the Mets take over the lead by scoring three runs on four hits. There was one error, one man left on base, and the score at the end of four, should say at the end of three and a half innings, the New York Mets 4, the Houston Colts 45, 2.
Chug-a-mug.
Chug-a-mug?
What?
Chug-a-mug. Rheingold's new wide-mouth container with a top that's so easy to open. You've never seen anything like it. You don't need an opener. You don't even need a glass. To open the Chug-A-Mug, you pull the tab on the top straight out, straight up, and pull it off. Then you're all set to drink right from Chug-A-Mug's wide mouth. Chug-A-Mug holds the same amount of delicious Rheingold extra dry as the 12-ounce can. Costs the same, too. There's no deposit, no return.
My beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. Chug-a-mug is a new way to buy beer. Better get some today.
Chug-a-mug, what you say?
What a great way to drink Rheingold beer.
find the new Chug-A-Mug wherever Rheingold Extra Dry is sold.
What a great way to drink Rheingold
beer! Mets lead 4-2. Larry Bernard now starting to work on Rusty Staub. And the first pitch is low, ball one. Staub shortening up as though to bunt. One ball, no strikes. Bernard now has given up two runs on one hit. A two-run triple by Johnny Bateman, the catcher. And Bernard comes back high with a slider, ball two. Two balls and no strikes. Mets breaking out with three runs in the top of the fourth to take the lead. Larry Bernard driving in two of the runs. Now at 2-0, he comes in on the inside corner, a called strike. Two balls and one strike. At 2-1, a let-up is hit into left field, a base hit. The ball going by the shortstop into shallow left field, picked up by Joe Hicks. And Rusty Staub is on at first base, and while we wait for the next batter to come up, Bob asked for money. We'll pause now for station identification.
This is WGY Schenectady, where you hear all the games of the New York Mets. For baseball, the best in music, for comprehensive, reliable news reporting, stay tuned to WGY.
To Bob Aspromonte is outside, ball one. Ralph Kiner along with Lindsey Nelson and Bob Murphy from Colt Stadium in Houston, Texas. The final game of the year, the Mets lead 4-2. Aspromonte the time run, and he hits the next pitch to right field, a base hit. Eddie Cranepool comes over, cuts it off on one hop, and he throws on in to Al Moran. The throw taken by Moran relayed to first base to Tim Harkness, but Aspromonte is safe at first. Holding at second base on the base hit is Rusty Staub. So two hits in a row now, and the Colt 45s are threatening to come back and tie it up. Runners at second and first base. Rusty Staub at second base. Bob Aspromonte at first. Colts now at three base hits, and the batter is Ivan Morrell. Morrell struck out swinging his first time up. He's looking for his first base hit in the major leagues. He's a right-hand batter. And the first pitch is bunted out toward the mound. Larry Bernard picks it up. He goes to first base, a high throw, and Morrell is safe. And moving over to third base on the play is Rusty Staub. On down to second base is Bob Aspromonte, and that is a base hit. Larry Bernard lobbed the throw to first base, waiting for Ron Hunt to get there. He couldn't fire away. The throw is too high, and Morrell, who can fly down the line, is safe at first base with a base hit. So now the base is loaded, no one out. The batter is John Pashorek. And Ed Bauta is now warming up in the bullpen for the Mets. That bunt was not especially good. Bunted out over toward the right side, about 15 feet from the foul line, but Morrell tore down that line and really moved. John Pashorek walked his first time up. He takes outside, ball one. He's a right-hand batter. He, too, looking for his first major league hit. Officially, he has not been a bat, although he has walked one time. Morrell with that bunt, getting his first major league hit. There's a little blooper into left field, a base hit. Coming in from third base is Rusty Staub. From second base is Bob Aspromonte. The throw is cut off, and the Colt 45s have tied it up. John Pashorek getting his first major league hit, which drove in two runs to tie the score at 4-4. Moving to second base on the base hit is Ivan Morrell. Runner still at first and second base with no one out. And the batter is Johnny Bateman, who tripled in two runs his first time up. Bateman 1-for-1, batting 207. And the first pitch to the right-hand batter is in the center field, a base hit. Morrell coming around from second base will score. The ball bobbled by Carmel, but John Pashorek holds at second base, and the Houston Colt 45s have taken the lead 5-4. And coming into bat in place of the pitcher, Al Spangler. That base hit by Bateman, giving him his third RBI in the ballgame. He now has a total of 59 on the year. And Casey Stengel now out to the mound. And that's all for Larry Bernard.
That's your statement. 59 RBIs
this season,
which is a team high.
Five base hits in a row. No one out. And coming in from the bullpen in right field is Ed Bauta. Say, wouldn't right now be a good time to pour yourself a glass of Rheingold Extra Dry? You bet it would. So open up or order up a Rheingold Extra Dry. It's beer as beer should taste. In the bullpen now, in place of Dixon, Turk Farrell warming up. Five hits in a row, driving Larry Bernard out of the ballpark. Larry now going toward the right field clubhouse area. And in the ballgame is Ed Bauta. Bauta making his 47th appearance. He has worked 70 2/3 innings. He has an ERA of 3.93. His record 3-4. He has not picked up a decision while pitching for the Mets. His record compiled while pitching for the St. Louis Cardinals. No one out in the bottom half of the fourth inning. So Larry Bernard's working a total of three innings officially. So far he has been charged with five runs. He gave up six hits. Four of them, five of them coming in the fourth inning. And while working on the mound, he struck out five batters and walked three. Ed Bauta will pitch to Al Spangler, a left-hand batter. Spangler, left-hand batter, with a batting average of 280. Bauta checking the signs from 2-2 Coleman. The score 5-4 in favor of the Colts 45s. The infield looking for the bunt. Spangler squares around. The pitch is low and inside, ball one. The ball got away from 2-2 Coleman about 4 feet, but he picked it up to hold Pashorek at second base and also John Bateman on at first. Now Bob is set again. Here's the pitch. A bunt down to third. A real good bunt. It might be a base hit. The ball allowed to roll. Juju Coleman couldn't pick it up. Neither could Jim Hickman. And Bob finally made the pickup. It's a base hit. Two perfect bunts in this inning to help the Colts 45s. They once again have the bases loaded. Still no one out. And batting for the shortstop, Glenn Vaughn, is Pete Runnels. Pete Runnels, a left-hand batter, batting for Glenn Vaughn. Vaughn had struck out his first two times up. Pete is batting 252 with two home runs and 21 runs batted in. And he hits the first pitch to deep right field. Eddie Cranepool waiting there with glasses down. Tagged up the runner at third base. He comes in to score after the catch. And moving over to third base is Johnny Bateman. Scoring from third base is John Pashorek. And the Colts 45s now lead 6-4. An RBI for Pete Reynolds. No time at bat in the sacrifice fly. And with one out, it'll be Joe Morgan coming to bat for the third time. Joe has walked and popped up to third in his first two appearances. He's a left-hand batter. Morgan with six hits and 24 times up, batting 250. The first pitch is in the dirt, dropped by Choo-Choo Coleman, but the runners hold. Ball one. Pitch in by Bauta. Throw to first base. Harkness makes the tag too late on the runner there. Al Spangler. Now the pitch back is swinging a miss. Colts lead 6-4, scoring four runs in the bottom half of the fourth after the Mets had taken the lead by scoring three runs in the top of the fourth. Now throw to first base by Bauta, but Spangler back. John Bateman on at third base. Infield playing in on the left side. And the pitch is in the dirt. A nice block by 2-2 Coleman. Ball bouncing way out in front of home plate and up against 2-2 Coleman's chest protector. One ball, two strikes. About a right-hander set. And it's pitched a curve, a check of the swing, but not in time. It's strike three. So Joe Morgan strikes out for the second out. That is the first strikeout for Ed Bauta. And Ed now will work to Jim Wynn, right-hand batting left fielder who has no hits and two times up. Wynn, the ninth man to bat in this inning. Here's the windup. The runner goes. The pitch is hit on the ground. Through in the center field of base hit. Johnny Bateman scores from third base, and Sanger goes into third base, and the Colt 45's lead now 7-4 on the base hit by Jim Wynn. That run charged to Larry Bonnard, so all seven runs in this inning go against Larry Bonnard. And that is the first hit after the bunt by Al Sanger that Ed Bowser has given up. And now Rusty Staub comes to bat for the second time in this inning. He singled the left field his first time up and scored the first of five runs that have scored here in the fourth. And the first pitch to the left-hand batter is off the glove of Choo-Choo Coleman, ball one. Coleman picks it up and the runners hold at first and third. Colt 45, seven runs on eight base hits. Mets have four runs and six. 2 men out, bottom half of the fourth. Now Bowser sets again. Here's the 1-0 delivery, a curveball in the outside corner, strike one. Bob started the inning with a base hit to left, and before Larry Bonnard could get anyone out, Colt 45 had picked up five hits in a row. Now at 1-1, the pitch is bounced slowly out toward the pitcher's mound. Bowser picks it up, throws to first base, and that retires the side. Colt 45 sends 10 men to the plate as they score a total of five runs on seven base hits. There were no errors. 2 men were left on, and the score at the end of four, the Houston Colt 45-7, the New York Mets 4. Now here is Glenn Zee to bring you up to date on the baseball and football action that's taking place across the nation.
All right, Ralph, thank you very much. In St. Louis, they're going to the bottom half of the ninth inning now with the Cincinnati Reds and the St. Louis Cardinals tied 2, and it's Worthington in relief now for Cincinnati against Bob Gibson, who started for the Cardinals. But the big story of the game there is that Stan Musial has played his last for the Cardinals because he left the game for pinch runner Gerry Kolb is out of action, and Musial's National League career has finished. In the first inning this afternoon, Stan Musial was called out on strike. In the fourth inning, he singled to center. In the sixth inning, he singled right, scoring front from second and then left for pinch runner Gerry Kolb. So on his final day, Stan Musial went 2-for-3 in National League action. And now, by courtesy of our statistician, Mr. Matt Winnick, here is the career record of Stan Musial. 3,026 games, 10,973 times at bat. Musial scored 1,949 runs. He had 3,630 hits. He had 725 doubles, 177 triples, 475 home runs, 1,950 runs batted in, a lifetime batting average of 331 for Stan Musial. He was presented today with an 8-foot painting of himself by the Cardinals. Also on hand to witness Musial's final appearance, 4-3, Joe Cronin, Wuthering Styles, 15 of the Hall of Fame, St. Louis Mayor Richard Tucker, and Missouri Governor John Dalton.
Right here, we're going to the fifth inning, and Duke Carmel is up. Dick Farrell is the pitcher on the mound for the Houston Colt 45. Bob Lillis is the shortstop in place of Glenn Vaughn. Pitch to Carmel. Is low for a ball. It's 1-1. The Colt 45s have gone to their flame-throwing right-hander, Dick Farrell here. Umbright worked two-thirds of an inning, allowed no runs on one hit, struck out one, and walked none. Here's the pitch to Carmel, tight for a ball. Carmel's been up twice, struck out both times. We're in the top half of the fifth inning. Houston leading the Mets by a score of 7-4. And the pitch. Low for a ball, it's 3-1. We'll bring you up to date on other scores around the majors in just a moment. New ball put into play at a count of 3-1 to Duke Carmel. It's a swing and a foul ball back third, and it's given a run back, and it's being brought back for the win, and is off the glove of catcher Johnny Bateman, but no play as it was off his glove and up against the screen. That ball started to sail well back into the stands, and coming over was third baseman Aspromonte, and it finally was blown on back so that Bateman got a shot at it near the screen but couldn't hang on to it because he couldn't tell as it was coming straight down then whether it was going to hit the screen or not. It didn't until it was off his glove. And then he trapped it against the screen. So it runs the count full to Carmel, and the pitch is outside for a ball, and Carmel has drawn a base on ball. The Mets, trailing by 3 runs, get a base runner here in the top of the fifth, and Ron Hunt is coming up. The end of 5 innings of play, the pennant-winning Dodgers lead the Phillies by a score of 1-0. Don Drysdale worked 5 innings, and now he's been brought out. Pete Rickard has relieved him. If Rickard can save it, Drysdale will have his 20th win of the season. Mahaffey started for the Phils, Balchin in the fifth, Chris Short in the sixth. Bobby Wine has now homered for the Phils. Milwaukee Braves shut out the Chicago Cubs 2-0, and Warren Spahn got his 23rd victory of the season today, his 62nd career shutout, his 7th this year. Henry Aaron hit a home run, number 44, to put him in a tie with Willie McCovey of the Giants for the home run lead. Here's a swing and a bloop into right field, and this one's going to drop in for a base hit. Carmel's on his way to third. It's taken way out there by Pashorek, played back in, and Hutt goes in with a double. That's second base for Ron Hutt. It is his 28th double of this season. Every time he gets a two-bagger, it's a new club record for the New York Mets. So the Mets get runners at second and third, and Tim Harkness is coming up.
The first baseman, number 3, Tim Harkness.
Wind blowing across and out toward right field here this afternoon. In the bullpen now for the Colt 45, right-handed Jim Dixon is throwing. Here's the pitch low and away to Tim Harkness at the plate. Harkness represents a potential tying run at the plate with nobody out in the top half of the fifth inning for the New York Mets. He tried to check that one and did. It is 2-0. He started around, holding as he went, and checked it in time. It's 2-0. St. Louis, they're playing in the bottom of the ninth. Tied 2-2, the Reds and the Cards. Here's a swing and a miss. 2-1. The Angels at Boston and the Minnesota Twins at New York postponed today because of rain. Cleveland Indians beat the Kansas City A's 2-1. The dugout of the Colt 45 still is riding umpire Ken Burkhardt down there third. Here's a swing and a foul ball back and out of play. Runs the count even at 2-2. The Washington Senators defeated the Chicago White Sox 9-2 today. Osteen the winner and Gary Peters the loser. Hunt and Nicholson had home runs. The Detroit Tigers beat the Baltimore Orioles 7-3. McLean the winner and Bunker the loser. Brown, Gentile, and Wirt had home runs. Here's a swing and a miss, and Tim Harkness is a strikeout victim. That is the second strikeout for Farrell since he came in. Carmel holding at third and Hunt at second with one man out. Jim Hickman is the batter. He's 1-for-2 today. The pump and the pitch swung on, hit in the air down the left field line. Now the wind holds it up. Plenty of time for Aspromonte, and also there's Lilith. Aspromonte takes it in foul territory. Carmel Tag comes down the line a step or two, and it goes back to the bag. So Hickman has fouled out. The third base, two away, and Joe Hicks is the batter. Runners holding second and third, two men out. John Bateman got rid of the mask, throwing it way over to the right because he didn't know where the ball was going to come back to, and he wanted to get the mask well out of the way. The National Football League, the Washington Redskins beat the Dallas Cowboys 21-17. The Pittsburgh Steelers beat the St. Louis Cardinals 23-10. The Chicago Bears rolled over the Detroit Lions 37-21. The swing and the pop to short center field. Going out is second baseman Joe Morgan. Bob Lillis is there, and shortstop Bob Lillis makes the catch. So the Mets are out in the top of the fifth with no runs on one hit. There was one error and two left. In the 4.5 innings, it is the Colt 45-7 and the Mets 4. We'll be moving to the top half of the fifth, bottom half of the fifth inning here. Colt 45 sent 10 men to the plate in the fourth, so they'll have Bob Aspromonte up here to lead off. Ed Bauda still in the ballgame. On the mound for the New York Mets.
14, Bob Aspromonte.
Money is 1-for-1 in a walk today. He's a right-hand batter, and Ed Bowder's into the wind-up. The pitch is inside and low for ball one. The last day of the National League season, Sunday, September 29th. Here's a 1-0 pitch, side-armed in for a called strike. It's 1-1.
Ken Bottle looks for the sign. The 1-1 pitch, Ken sidearmed, and it's outside. Casey Stengel has been talking to Bottle a great deal about that delivery because Bottle does not miss coming through with a submarine delivery by very much off that sidearm motion. Pitch is swung on and looped into right field. It's a base hit. Could be an in-between. It's on back, Greenfield. Going to roll all the way to the ball. That's the body on his way to second. Rod second hits the third. Here comes the relay, and he goes in standing with time to spare. Throw comes to the plate. And it's a long in-between triple for Bob Astromonte. Alan Morrell is coming up now. Got his first major league hit in the bottom half of the fourth inning. Is a right-hand batter. Here's a pitch swung on and missed for a strike. Runner at third. Mets play the infield end. Pitch is swung on and missed. It's strike two. This the last day of the season. We of the Mets radio and television crew certainly want to acknowledge all the fine help, assistance, cooperation we've had from the New York Mets organization in bringing you these broadcasts and telecasts. Here's a pitch swung on and fouled off so that Morrell stays alive with a two-strike count. Incidentally, Executive Vice President Herb Walker, Jr. of the New York Mets is here this afternoon, seated down just behind the Mets dugout. There's a swing, and it's popped up to the infield on the first baseline. Harkness comes down and makes the catch in foul territory as the wind took it over. No advance by Aspromonte. And right now, in order to allow our stations to identify themselves, we pause for station identification.
You're tuned to WGY Schenectady, your New York Mets station. The time, 30 seconds past 6 o'clock, the temperature 50 degrees.
This is Lindsey Nelson with Ralph Kiner and Bob Murphy at Kohl Stadium in Houston, Texas. John Pashorek is up, and here is the pitch breaking low and away for ball one. So we want to acknowledge the help and cooperation of Chairman of the Board, M. Donald Grant, Mrs. Charles S. Payson, the principal owner of the New York Mets, Mr. Herbert Walker, George M. Weiss, the president, his secretary, Margaret Rigetz. Here's the pitch low for a ball. It's 2-0. Administrative Assistant Johnny Murphy and his secretary, Rose Trotta. Administrative Assistant Whit Matthews and his secretary, Mary Ann Kanicki. Minor League Department, Joe McDonald and Bob Elliott. Director of Public Relations, Tom Meaney. Assistant Hank Kelly. Secretary Madeline Calasurda. Now, time has been called, and Bauta wants to check out with Choo-Choo Coleman. The count is 2-0. John Pashorek at the plate with a runner at third and one man out. The Colt 45s leading 7-4. First, we couldn't get along without the help of the controller because he's the man who makes out the checks. Joe DiGregorio, his assistant Ed Milisek, road secretary Lou Ness, of course, who's been a great help to us all season long in travel arrangements, receptionist Annette Van Tyke, our statistician here, Matt Winnick, of course. Here's a pitch in for a call strike, a breaking ball. It's 2-1. One man out and a runner at third. We're in the bottom half of the fifth inning. Mets still have the infield in. Bottle looks for his sign. Up and set. Here's the 2-1 pitch. Swung on and looped into left field for a base hit. A handle hit, but it's going to score a run. Bob Astromonte jogs across the plate. Pashorek holds with his second Major League base hit. His third run batted in. This is his first Major League game, and he's having a big day. He's 2-for-2 and a walk. Has scored two runs, driven in three, and Johnny Bateman is coming up. The Colt 45s lead the Mets by a score of 8-4. And, of course, we want to acknowledge the entire Polo Grounds crew, business manager Jim Thompson and his secretary Pat Davis. Here is the pitch in for a call strike. Promotion director Julie Adler and his secretary Nancy Coletti. Director of ticket sales Jerry Waring and his secretary Anne-Marie Fasnetta. Runner leads at first base. Here's the pitch low and away. Choo-choo digs it out. It's 1-1. like to acknowledge the director of season plans, Bob Mann. Special services, Matt Burns, Sarah Marcus. Here it is, a swing and a miss. One and two. Bob Lillis is in the on-deck circle right now. Colt 45 is leading 8-4, and here's a pitch low and away again. Choo-choo had to go out there to dig it out. It's a 2-2 count. In charge of group sales with the Mets, Jim Murray, and the women's division of group sales, Betty King. In the ticket department, Bill Gibson, Johnny McKee, Frank McGinnis, Marty Meyer, Duke Dusenberry, Cliff Cobb. Here's a swing and a foul ball, off and out of play. Count holds at 2-2. Of course, we couldn't get along without the switchboard crew because all season long, they take care of calls, messages. A lot of those, believe me. Here's the pitch low for a ball. It's out full at 3-2. So our thanks to Lee Caputi and Christine Myers, Don Ignazi, Wilhelmina Brandt. The Colt 45 is leading the Mets by a score of 8-4, and we're in the bottom half of the fifth inning. Ed Bauda off the stretch. The runner goes. The pitch is inside. He walked him. So Bateman goes to first with a walk. Moving to second is Pishorek. Bob Lillis is coming up, and Casey Stengel's going to the mound. And we're going to get a pitching change right here. Tracy Stallard is coming in. Tracy Stallard coming on for the Mets here in the fifth inning. As Ed Bauda. One and two-thirds innings. Which he has given up one run on three hits. Struck out one and walked one. So Stallard becomes the third Met pitcher of the day on this, the final day of the season. Lillis is the batter, which means if you're keeping a scorecard, Lillis is batting number nine. Turk Farrell is batting in the leadoff spot in the batting order. They came in together, and it's up to the manager's discretion. The nominal manager happens to be in the clubhouse at the moment, having been ejected, so that Lum Harris is in charge of proceedings for the Colt 45s. And Tracy Stallard is warming up, which gives us a chance again to offer a few acknowledgments. Security Chief Jim Cahill, the polo ground, head usher Joe Conley, the public address announcer, and a fine one, Jack Lee, the club physician, Dr. Peter Lamott. Now the pitch to Lillis, and it's outside for a ball. The Colt 45s have runners at first and second. There's only one man out. Tracy Stallard checks the runners. Pitch to the right-hand batter, swung on and fouled on the right field line, out of play. Our thanks to the Met trainers, Gus Smart and Lynn Lisher. To the clubhouse man, Cliff Norman and Herb Norman and his assistant, Fred Cordetti. Swing and a ground ball off the glove of Hickman and on into left field. Rounding third and coming home is Pishorek, the throw to the plate. He goes in standing up. It's by Coleman. It's by Stallard. Moving on is Bateman to third, and down to second is Bob Lillis. It is scored as a base hit. An RBI, an error on the throw on Joe Hicks in left field. Pishorek scoring. Bateman moving to third. Bob Lillis to second. Score is the Colt 45's 9, the Mets 4, and Kurt Farrell is coming up. We want to say a word of thanks to fellows who run the press room at the polo grounds. The finer crew you'll never find than Bill Boylan, Lou Napoli, and Ralph Sharper. The Tracy Stallard's pitch is inside for a ball. Mets again have to play the infield in with only one man out here and runners at second and third.